Hello and welcome to Radio Education. This is a podcast from the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Thank you for joining us today, and with us is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Welcome.
Hi, Audrey.
How are you today?
I'm feeling a little under the weather. Might be a combination of the change in weather from snowy to hot to windy, but I'm excited about our guest today, as always.
I am too. All right. Well, let's move on to our first section, happenings at our campuses. So what can you share with us about what's happening around our campuses?
Well, we're on celebration mode.
Oh, I like that.
And I want to talk about just one of our many exceptional students who will be our guest next episode. I've been trying to get her on the podcast, and she's playing soccer or busy with the Youth of the Year Award, so we haven't been able to get her here. She has confirmed that she'll be at our next English episode. So
excellent. I'm looking forward to that.
Have her be as a guest.
So tell us more.
Yeah. So she was named the Boys and Girls Club Youth of the Year.
Okay. Our local one.
Our local one.
Okay.
And it's a huge deal. So what they explain at the breakfast is that since 1947, Youth of the Year has been the Boys and Girls Club of America premier recognition program, and it celebrates the extraordinary achievements of club members.
Mm-hmm.
I also learned that each year, one exceptional young person from the Boys and Girls Club rises to the role of National Youth of the Year. So the National Youth of the Year serves as both an exemplary ambassador for Boys and Girls Club youth as a strong voice for all the nation's young people. And it's a competition. So from here, they'll go from local to state to regional and then to national.
All right. So tell us a little bit more. Who is this? And
well, it is one of our seniors.
Okay.
Maissa Duran.
Oh, I remember her.
Do
yes.
You? Yeah, she is one of our exceptional seniors, and you know, they get awarded and they get up there and they get to give a little speech.
Oh.
And her speech was powerful. I'm not going to ruin it for her,
but
it's very touching, and she just got up there and went right to it. And it's a story of resiliency and getting through things. And she got a Fulbright scholarship to Adams State University.
Excellent.
She's going to be studying nursing, and I cannot wait to have her on our show, on our podcast next time.
All right. We look forward to having her. All right. Well, let's move on to our favorite section, celebrate.
Well, as I mentioned, we are on celebration mode.
Absolutely.
We just talked about the Youth of the Year.
Yes.
We've also had Michelle Wilson as the Principal of the Year. Today, we have the pleasure of having the Alamosa School District Teacher of the Year.
Okay.
She is a former colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in education for 25 years, 21 of those years at Ortega Middle School. It is my pleasure to introduce Wendy McLaren Guise.
Thank you.
Hello, Wendy. Congratulations.
Thank you, friend.
And welcome to Education Radio. So I know you. We've worked together for 16 years. So, but tell our neighbors a little bit about yourself so they get to know you.
I'm not a native of the San Luis Valley. I came to college here in 94 and stayed. I married to a man named William Crowder. He owns a business outside of Monty called Agro Engineering. I have a stepdaughter, Ava Crowder. She is a freshman at UCCS studying criminology right now. I think she wants to be a forensic scientist.
Oh, interesting.
She seems to be liking it. I love to travel a lot. Love trying new cuisines, meeting new people, new cultures. It just fascinates me. I love to read. I love music. I love going to concerts. I love the Colorado Rockies and will be a fan no matter what. I'm going to go to a game soon. Pretty excited about that.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
What was your last trip? Where'd you guys go?
I actually went on a cruise. It left out of Puerto Rico and then it went to Aruba, Curacao, Martinique, and St. Kitts.
Awesome.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I bet you had some really interesting food.
Yes. That's just the best part. Puerto Rico, trying all their flavors and, you know, just I'm adventurous that way. So it's pretty fun.
What was your favorite?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I don't know, Adrian. Did you have a lot of seafood?
Yeah. Seafood's pretty good.
So as you went through the islands, was that like
a
big part of their cuisine?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I tried the mofonga, and I think that's how you say it in Puerto Rico. That was pretty good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that's the favorite. Somebody was on here recently.
No. Oh, yes.
Oh, Ivo.
Ivo, yes. Yeah.
And he was telling us that's his, but he's from there. And he said that was his favorite, so.
Yeah. Well, I had to try it because it's like their cuisine.
Yeah. Excellent.
I tried ropa vieja when I was there, and of course I love the seafood. Who doesn't love seafood, but. That was just hit my taste buds a little different. Yeah. All right, Wendy, let's talk about the teacher of the year. What does this mean to you?
Honestly, truthfully, I'm shocked. I didn't believe my principal when he told me. I basically told him to shut up. I was like, no,
like you.
I know, because I just speak my mind. And he's like, no, really. And it was humbling. It was humbling to be named that. You don't do this job for that kind of recognition.
Right.
So to be recognized that way, like I said, is humbling.
It is. Well, congratulations. You know, it's well deserved. You are a leader, and you have been, and you've, you know, over the 16 years I've seen you, you know, as older people retire, you know, you've just, you know, risen up, and you are a true leader. So well deserved.
Thank you.
Wendy gets to compete for the San Luis Valley Teacher of the Year.
Yes.
There is a banquet, and one of the 14 teachers of the year per district will get to be there, and only one person will be named.
Wow. So all of our winners are going on and competing. How
That's
fun.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to change gears here a little bit. Your father served our country for many years. How did that shape you as a person?
First, I'd like to thank you for that. That means you truly know me. You truly know me, Adri, and that did shape me. I grew up in the military. My dad served for 25 years. I grew up on military bases, got to live in Italy for a while, lived in big cities, small towns, went to 3 high schools in 4 years. The Cold War had ended, so they were shutting bases down. So every time we moved to a new base, we moved again. It is who I am. It has shaped me 100%, the military. I am blessed to have grown up in it. The military has taught me perseverance. It's taught me to be ready to go with the changes. It's taught me to value people. That's probably why I love traveling so much. It's taught me honor. It's taught me hard work. It's taught me patience. It's just so ingrained in both my brother and me. We are so incredibly proud that our father was a soldier.
Absolutely.
It is who I wanted to be in the military, and told my brother and I, no. Like, he wanted us to go do something else because my family's military, like people before him and before him and before him.
All right. Well, thank you.
That's a great segue to our next question. What made you become a teacher?
First of all, my love for education. Yeah, you got to like kids, especially at the middle school level, or it's not going to be fun. And I do like them. I like them at that age. I wouldn't go to any other age. But my love for learning. I've lived and traveled many places, and I can see what education does for you. And if you don't have an education, what happens to you? When I lived in Italy at the time, and I could be wrong about the age, but I know kindergarten through around 6th or 7th was free. And then afterwards you had to start paying. And sometimes I just really don't think people appreciate that we get a free public education and don't really understand all it can do for you.
You know, I grew up, you know, just across the river from Mexico. And so I had family there, and just listening to their stories and how much things cost and having to wear a uniform and a very exact uniform, and, you know, buying books. And I just remember those, you know, hearing those stories. And our students get everything.
Yes, they do.
I remember I went to elementary Mexico.
Okay, you know, your parents know.
Yeah, when I came over in 7th grade, I'm a learner as well. We all are here.
Yeah.
And we all love middle school kids. I was shocked about technology because I remember science. And even though I didn't quite speak the language quite yet, I knew math and science. And I got to use my first computer. And I also learned about free lunch. And of course, I love that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I agree with you about the power of education.
Yeah,
it truly
absolutely can
do for all kids.
And yeah, I think that's our driving force as teachers, is it is an equalizer of sorts.
Yes, it is.
You want to change your situation.
Yeah.
educate yourself.
Absolutely. I really believe that with all my heart. I tell my students that education equals freedom and power.
Absolutely.
Power over their own life and freedom to choose their future.
Yep. That's right. So now let's, you know, get down to OMS and the nitty gritty. You're a big proponent of using race in writing, and you have, you know, really talked about it, and you have a lot of us, you know, using it as well. We took it on as a campus. So tell our audience a little bit about it and how it helps students.
So RACE is an acronym that stands for Restate, Answer, Cite, Explain. It is a basic paragraph, and I explain to my students that it is the basis for any argument, and you can take this paragraph, transform it into an essay. I explain if they use the format in a job interview, it's going to help them. For example, I tell them, you'll go into the job interview and you'll say your name and that you should be hired for this job. Then you'll cite some evidence that makes you perfect for it and explain how that evidence makes you perfect for it. That's just one example. I just tell them it's the basic format for persuasion, for getting your thoughts through in a understandable manner, and that, like I said, it can transform into an essay, it can transform into a speech. I told them they'll use some form of it in high school. They changed the acronym in high school. And I told them, even when you're applying for college and you have to write a letter about yourself, you can go back to that format. It expands, but it's at its simplest, it's just restate, answer, cite, explain.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for explaining it a little bit more.
And race writing has brought phenomenal results at OMS.
Yes, it has. We have made improvements.
Yes. Yep.
All right. You talked about your love for kids and you talked about, you know, 25 years of education. I know you have many stories about students and how you as a teacher have impacted so many of them. Can you tell us just one story about one of your students?
I thought about this one, and there's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many I still have relationships with. I have one that works at Adams State. I think he's going to be 39. I have his daughter this year, and we're still part of each other's life. But as you know, Mr. Murillo, you know who I'm going to say. And these two might fight because they both work at Adams. But one of them that has touched my heart is Manuelito Casillas, and he works at Adams State. I met him when he was in seventh grade, and I had him in seventh and eighth grade, and then sadly in his life, I won't touch too much on it, tragedy struck his freshman year. And he wanted me to continue being part of his life, and I was. And through his high school years, when life was difficult, I was there, sometimes to love him, sometimes to kick him in the butt. And I watched him go to college and graduate. He taught with me for a couple of years, and he belongs in the classroom, and he knows this, but he'll go back eventually. But right now, he's at Adams, and we'll be in each other's life forever. He calls me mom. We like to mess with kids. He'll come visit me at school and be like, "Hi, mom." And they'll be like, "That's your son." And we're like, "Oh yeah." And he just, he's an example of a kid that could have given up and chose not to. And there's just so many that are crossing my mind right now. The ones honestly that struggle the most seem to have my heart the most. I just love it. I go to their weddings. I go to their high school graduation, college graduations, baby showers. If they want me in their life, I will be there.
Yeah.
And you have been. And personally speaking, you know, you were a big part of my son's life. We moved here when he was in seventh grade, and you were his English teacher. And, you know, in talking, you took him on his first skiing trip.
Yep.
And he had never done it before. And you said, "All right, this is what he needs." And so we got him ready and you took him. And, you know, he'll never forget that little thing you did.
Yeah. And I took him to Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
Never really seen snow like that or even played on the mountain. And so I took him on the weekend. We went up and he had a great time. And he's killing it at life, mama.
He is. He is. And, you know, his writing ability has taken him a long ways. And so as a very young, you know, lawyer, you know, that partners like him because he writes briefs really well.
Excellent.
And who had a hand in that?
Well, thank you.
All right. So tell us, what are you most proud of in your work at OMS?
Helping to change kids' lives, honestly. Nothing gives me more joy than when I see them when they're older doing whatever it is they want to do. Be it go to college, just go out to work at the family farm, have kids and be a stay-at-home mom, starting a business, pursuing their passion with music, or just that's what I'm most proud of, is that I tell them that it doesn't matter what they want to do when they're older. It just matters that they're happy and that they don't have to know right now. And even when they graduate, they don't have to know. And even if they're 25, they don't have to know, and they can figure it out along the way. But I think that's what I'm most proud of, is just seeing them succeed. Kids that you have in your class, and you watch them go out and just live the life they want.
And don't you love running into them?
Yes.
You know, just around the community.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're all sad and they tell you adulting sucks. And I'm like, dude, I told you when you were in middle school, I told you.
All right. You might be at a point, you know, 25 years in your career, where you might be crunching numbers and thinking about possible retirement down the road. How would you like to be remembered by students and staff?
I really want to be remembered as a caring person. I do have a wall up when you first meet me, and I know that. And I have a face at first that maybe makes you go, is this lady nice? and I do speak my mind. But at the end of the day, I really want to be remembered as a caring, loving person. I want to be remembered as someone that saw you and cared about you and helped you if you needed it and hugged you if you needed it and kicked you in the butt if you needed it. That's it.
Yeah. And you're doing a great job at that, because you have great relationships with kids and they're really open to learning in your classroom. Congratulations.
Thanks, friend.
So what advice do you have for parents who want to help their middle school or even high school students be ready to go on to college?
Just have patience with them. Sometimes they don't know what they want to do at first. Sometimes, like my kiddo, she was going to open a restaurant. Then she was going to be an actress. And then a high school science teacher, she took a forensics class and she fell in love. And then all of a sudden, college was interesting to her.
Right.
And just have patience with them. Listen to their ideas. Be prepared for them to change their mind 852 times. Just talk openly with them about it. And if they don't know what they want to do, but they want to go on to some form of higher education, let them. Because when I was going to go to college, I was going to be a news broadcaster. That's what I was going to do at first. I didn't find teaching. Teaching found me about my junior year. So I had to go an extra year of college. So that's, just be patient with your kids, listen to them, and know they're going to change their mind a lot.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
You talked about your love of reading. Tell us why that's important for students.
Reading, my God, there's a lot of reasons. One is that it's a place for you to escape. Another, it lets you use your imagination. But again, I go back to reading gives you knowledge, which then gives you freedom and power. Read everything you can. When I was younger, I wanted to read fiction. Now, not so into it. I like the nonfiction. I think the older you get more into trying to learn why things are the way they are, how they happened, why someone made the choices they made. But yeah, it's just reading gives you knowledge, gives you information, helps you be more well-rounded in making your decisions.
I don't know if you remember, you may be too young for this, but there was this awesome game called Trivial Pursuit. Yes. Love that game. And sometimes answers would just pop up in my head, you know, and I would, you know, give the answer. And my sister turned to me once and she's like, how do you know that? And I said, I read it in a book. And it was a novel, and I learned about, you know,
yeah,
it was something to do with in London or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and it just, reading takes you places.
Yes, it does. So I have to say, in the 25 years I've been teaching, the only unit I have taught every year, and I'm teaching it right now, and kids will come back, are you doing it? Are you doing it? And people that are in their 30s that I taught, are you reading it? Are you reading it? Is The Outsiders. And we've started it. And it's so funny. Kids come to class, are we reading today? Are we reading today? And I've been asked, why do you teach that book? And I tell them, well, for a lot of kids, that book opens the door for them to start loving reading.
Yes.
For a lot of my kids. And it's just a story that that's about real life, and the characters are about their age. The girl was 16 years old when she started writing it, and just reading can do so much. And that's the book that I will continue to teach till I'm done. And like I said, it gets a lot of kids actually interested in reading.
My youngest brother is quite a bit younger than I am, and he hated reading and struggled. And so at one point, you know, I think he had girlfriends do his book reports back in the day. And so one day I went, okay, I want you to read this book. And it was Catcher in the Rye. And then that changed things.
Yes.
It was like all of a sudden, you know, you read something interesting, you know, and so now he sends me books. So yeah, reading's important. All right. What brings you joy about teaching? We've talked a lot about, you know, the kids and, but what brings you joy?
Couple of things. One is making connections with kids.
Yes.
That does bring me joy.
Yes.
Another thing that brings me joy is when I see a kid grasp a concept and start to understand it and start to own it. I was just talking to a young lady in Moose Pride before we left, and she had a troublesome sixth grade year, and she totally admits it. And she's in seventh grade this year, and she's doing much better. And she took her NWEA test, and she was really excited because she grew in all of them. And we were talking, and she said to me, I told her, I said, I've seen you change the last couple of months. And she's like, yeah, I really want to try, and I've decided I really want to get an education. And that's why I do it. Mm-hmm. I watched this young lady. I'm watching her just turn her life around herself, and that's just why.
Awesome.
What keeps you up at night?
Everything. I don't. I'm one of those that has to have a sound machine to go to sleep, because then when I lay down, my my brain turns on. What keeps me up at night, honestly, is if I've had a situation and I wonder if I could have done that situation better, if I could have spoken differently, if I could have made a different impact, if I just could have done things differently. I'm one of those that never is 100% satisfied, always asking myself, what could I have done different or better?
All right.
All right. If you had a magic wand and could magically change one thing about our education system immediately, what would that be?
That the government stays out of it. Just let us teach. Yep. Just let us teach. The majority of people that are teachers are in the profession for the right reason. It's like every profession. And you get a couple bad incidences, and then the media blows it up, and it then everybody's like, oh, you know, cops are bad, or blah, 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 and teachers are not teaching, and they're doing their own agenda. And I just wish, actually, the government and the media just stay out of it. Let us teach. Most of us are there for the right reasons.
All right. Wendy, thank you for being with us today, and congratulations on that well-deserved honor.
Thank you again, my friend.
Our next segment is upcoming events. What is going on in the district?
Well, we're winding down, and graduations
are
just around the corner. So kindergarten graduation is on May 19th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And Alamosa High School graduation is on May 24th, starting at 10 a.m.
Almost just a month away. All right. Well, Alamosa High School will be presenting their spring play, Mousetrap. They will perform on Thursday, April 26th, 27th, and 28th. Showtime is at 7 p.m. on each of those nights. There'll be a Saturday matinee at 1 p.m. as well. I hear they had so many students audition that they have two different casts.
Oh, wow.
Who will be alternating the performances. So join them for a fun evening of theater. Thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our school website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District, students today, leaders tomorrow.